Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Over the weekend, President Trump called off planned sweeps by ICE agents to detain thousands of undocumented immigrants across the country, including here in Miami. The president said in a tweet on Saturday the raids would happen in 2 weeks if congressional Democrats didn't submit to changes in asylum law. Tonight, we'll be hosting a town hall event at WLRN Studios focused on the issue of immigration. It comes in the lead-up to the Democratic presidential debates in Miami this Wednesday and Thursday. Registration for the event is now closed, but you can watch on our Facebook page at WLRN Sundial. We extended an invitation to Congresswoman Debbie Mercosal-Powell, covering Florida's 26th district. She's unable to attend tonight, but she spoke to us on Friday. Our conversation was just hours after the Congresswoman called for an impeachment inquiry into the president.
I have been watching time and time again this president obstruct our investigations. When I received the Mueller report, I read it front to back. Not many people have had the time to be able to do that. And I understood very quickly how important it was for us to educate the public so that everyone understood that this president is not only obstructing justice, he is abusing his power, and he is surrounded by corruption. So it was very clear to me and other members of the Judiciary Committee that we had to investigate. Now, after weeks of negotiating with the executive branch in good faith and the White House and the Department of Justice, we have realized, and I have come to realize, that the only way that we are going to be able to fulfill our duties and our responsibilities of check and balances into this administration is to begin an impeachment inquiry so that we can have a stronger hand in the courts and we can obtain the evidence that we need.
What did you see in the Mueller report that suggested to you that an impeachment inquiry was necessary now?
I was able to actually read the unredacted versions of Volume 2 of the Mueller report. In that volume, Mueller outlines at least six instances where the president obstructed justice. One of the parts of the Mueller report that for me shows that this president obstructed justice was when he asked Don McGahn to ask Jeff Sessions to produce a false document stating that he would recuse himself from the Russia investigation because there was no collusion with Russia, and that the Mueller investigation shouldn't continue. And it's clearly worded in that volume. And for me, that was the strongest point where I understood clearly that this president abused his power in that way.
Are you ready to begin impeachment proceedings now, though?
I am ready to start the inquiry so that we can see the grand jury material, get the underlying evidence, obtain the unredacted version of Volume 1 of the Mueller report, and be able to enforce our subpoenas to have Don McGahn and others come and testify. It is very important that we get the fact witnesses to come in front of the Judiciary Committee. We have that responsibility. It falls under our jurisdiction, and that's what I'm ready to do.
And of course, there's the argument that, well, we're about to enter into this election process. Would this be damaging to the Democrats as you're entering the presidential election race?
I'm not going to lie to you. I obviously thought about that because I think it's very important that we maintain the majority in the House of Representatives. I see ourselves as the last line of defense for our democracy. But I think that the American public is very smart and that they are going to understand that it is our duty to ensure that this president does not get away with obstruction, with abuse of power, with corruption. We can't allow President number 45 to do things that we have never allowed the past 44 presidents to do.
So talking about the election, we have most of the Democrats are in Miami for two nights of debates at the Arch Center. Leading up to that, Sundial and the Miami Herald are hosting two town hall events on two big issues, immigration and climate risk. We have extended the invitation to you, still there, if in case, but you said you can't make it. So let's talk about them now, though. And I want to start with immigration. President Trump has threatened, when he started his reelection campaign, threatened ICE raids and threatened again to begin mass deportations. Should undocumented immigrants right now be concerned, or is this just part of the bluster because he's relaunched his campaign?
Louis, it's a very good question, and I don't think I or many of us have the answer to it, because the president seems to use messaging points to instill division, create fear in our communities, but then he backs down the next day. He tweets one thing at one moment, but then changes his mind the next. So what I do want our community to know is that every person that is living in this country has rights, and that I will be here in Washington, D.C., fighting to protect those rights. I have posted on my website and in all my social media outlets the steps that our immigrant community can take, and so they understand their rights. I want them to know that they're not alone, that they have a representative that is here in D.C. ensuring that we do everything we can so that we protect them, that we give them the proper representation, and that we work on comprehensive immigration reform. Now, I know that it's an issue that many people have been talking about for years. It is not impossible, and this is definitely impacting not just the lives of millions of Americans that have been living here now for decades, but also it will directly impact our economy in Florida.
You talk about taking steps, though. What are some of those steps? How should South Floridians, you know, handle this kind of information as they hear it?
I think that we have to be aware, educated. We have to pay attention. We need to have the resources available to us. We have to be empowered with information and not fear the retribution of having those resources in front of us and using them. I think that there are definitely several immigrant groups that are working in Miami-Dade County that are in communication with my office so that we can learn of any cases that come through them that where we can assist. So the most important thing that we can do right now is to be prepared. It's like going through a hurricane evacuation plan. Have the information, be ready, have a plan, have those phone numbers in front of you. If ICE comes to your door, you don't have to open your door. They have to have a warrant. And those are some of the steps and some of the points that I'm making in my website and in my offices. So people can call my office to get more information. But I have been talking to Republican colleagues here about different steps that we can take to provide work permits for people that are coming and working the farms in Florida. We depend on those workers to feed our communities. There are many things that we can do in a bipartisan basis. The problem is we have an administration in the executive branch that refuses to work not only with the House of Representatives, but with the Senate as well.
So we don't know what the questions are going to be for the candidates during the debates. We'd imagine that immigration will come up, and maybe this topic will come up because it's here in South Florida, the child detention facilities, the one in Homestead specifically. You've been there, and I wondered, what did you see?
I have visited the Homestead facility now 5 times, and every time I go, I think it's going to get a little easier for me to visit it. And the last visit that I did was a week ago, and I saw kids that looked younger to me. So I had a conversation with this young boy. He told me he was 13 years old. He had been at the Homestead Detention Facility for 44 days. He had come to the border with his older sister. His sister had a baby with her. They let the sister through to go see their mother in California. They took him away. I don't understand how we are keeping close to 3,000 kids in a facility that is a prison. It's a light security prison. That is what I'm going to call it, because they have absolutely no freedom. They are living in a highly regimented schedule with a lot of security. They are sleeping in very crowded areas, 144 bunk beds with numbers next to the bunk beds. They are referred to by numbers, not by their names. They don't have enough representation. They don't have enough case managers working on their cases. And there is no reason why they're not reunited with their families.
And there was another report of allegations of sexual abuse. This makes 7 cases at this detention center. Is Congress looking into these allegations, or which agency has the jurisdiction?
So the problem here is that the agencies are not communicating with us or answering the questions that we are giving them. We found out about this last case by accident. There is a lot of cover-up. There's a lack of transparency that we're seeing in the Department of Health and Human Services. The last sexual allegation was given or was sent, that report was sent by mistake to the Department of Children and Families in the state in Tallahassee. And that's why it was made public. We have requested more information. We're waiting to obtain it. But just like I requested a hurricane evacuation plan back in May, I have yet to receive a formal hurricane evacuation plan. They are not providing our answers. There's a lot of arrogance by the administrators of these agencies, and they are disregarding our congressional duty of oversight.
And you talk about that hurricane plan because we are in hurricane season. If a storm is coming this way, that's not a facility that can that would be safe. I mean, so what I'm hearing, though, is, I mean, who then has, you know, I guess the final authority? And if we wanted to shut these down, who could?
I think that our community can put a lot of pressure on the administrators who are managing the facility by making the appropriate calls. I have called for a shutdown of the facility. They have violated certain regulations. They are definitely profiting by keeping these children longer than what we have seen under the Flores Agreement, which requires for kids not be kept in a high security facility for more than 20 days. So I think that this is why elections matter. The administration, this president, has appointed the secretary, Azar, to be overseeing these children. And he is highly incompetent. And I have asked for Azar to resign. And I know that this sounds radical, but we are seeing the highest levels of incompetence in these agencies that I have ever experienced living here in the United States.
I'm speaking with Debbie Mukersal-Powell, the U.S. representative for Florida's District 26. The congresswoman recently called for President Trump's inquiry into an impeachment. We're also discussing critical issues like immigration, and I want to move over to climate change. This is one of the other discussions we're going to have at our town hall. Maybe you saw this report, I believe, the Center for Climate Integrity recently publishing their findings. They say that the U.S. is going to be spending upwards of $416 billion over the next 20 years just to build seawalls for coastal cities. Being from Miami, you know the issue, how big it is for us here, and your take when you see that. And I wondered what the reaction was in D.C.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen much reaction, which is very worrisome to me. I know that there is the committee, as you know, the House Select Committee that deals with the issues of climate change. I have asked Congresswoman Kathy Castor to hold a hearing locally in my area so that we can discuss these issues. More importantly, what I saw from that report is that our GDP will fall down by 10% because of the cost of dealing with the effects of climate change, which is going to be far worse than anything we've ever seen in the two periods of recession that we've had in this country. I asked in April Chairman Neal, who is the chairman of the Committee on Ways and Means, to start by reintroducing the incentives and the provisions in the tax law that would allow for not just commercial but also residential places to be able to use that tax credit so that they can start investing in renewable energy. We are not doing enough. I am very concerned. I have been talking to leadership about potential pieces of legislation, but at this point, legislation sometimes will take time. So what we need to do, and what I do every single time I have meetings, I have met with the Port of Miami, I have met with affordable housing agencies, I have those conversations. What are we doing as we continue to invest in our infrastructure, to invest in clean energy, to make sure that the structures are resilient for the next storms? We live in an area where we're seeing our storms getting worse and worse, and there's no denying that it's a result of climate change. So we have to put every single person has to put their part. We have to take individual responsibility, and we have to educate. Our communities are still not at a place where they understand what we're dealing with. I know that we're going to be losing thousands of species in the next 30 years if we don't act now, and we don't have enough time.
How do you think this plays out in the 2020 election? I mean, we already know what we've heard from the president and his stance on the issue of climate risk.
I think that they need to come up with a very detailed plan on what they plan on doing. And I was quoted as saying that I hope I hear them discuss this on the debate. We have no time, and I don't have all the answers. I'm going to be very honest with you, Louis. I have met with several groups trying to figure out ways that we, what is it that we can do right away to slow down the impacts? So I'm doing my part by introducing, right, we're going to be passing a bill this week, actually, which is going to provide for over $33 million in funding just to deal with the issue that has to do with our coral reefs along our Florida coast. We're losing our reefs at a very rapid rate. There is a bacteria that's attacking our reefs that, when infected, it kills 50% of the reefs within 10 days. And NOAA doesn't have all the resources to support the scientists that are doing research to stop this bacteria from spreading. There are small things and small steps that we can take to do our part in the process. I can promise you that right here in D.C., I am doing my best to find immediate solutions to the impact of climate change that we're facing.
So let's talk about the debates briefly. Again, 20 candidates, two nights. They had to split the candidates off. But you get 23 candidates running for president right now. Is that a good or bad thing?
I think that the fact that we've been focusing so much on the presidential primary is not such a good thing. And I'll tell you why. We have been here in the House passing more than 120 bills that have been waiting for us to pass and give to the Senate for years. We passed the most comprehensive gun reform bill that has been passed in the past 26 years. And it's in the Senate, and the Senate is not taking action. That's what I'm paying attention to. Those are the points that I want to make in this interview. We have bills right now that can affect people's lives if only the Senate would take a vote on those bills.
What are the issues you hope that are important to the folks here in South Florida?
I hope to hear from the candidates their perspective on the crisis that we've seen in Venezuela. I want to hear from them what we're going to do to tackle violence and poverty in Central America. What are their plans to deal with the effects of climate change and sea level rise? But I also want to hear their plan to create better paying jobs. I have a district where the majority of the families are making under $44,000 a year in an area where they can't afford to pay for their housing. They can't afford to get their medicine. What are we doing to invest in new jobs that are going to pay fair wages, where people can prosper and people can start worrying about paying for college for their children?
And you talk about Venezuela. If I can come back to that issue real quickly, there was talk about possibly giving temporary protected status to Venezuelans trying to escape the Maduro regime. Where are we on that?
We will be having a vote on the House to provide TPS for Venezuelans. And I do think that there's a Senate companion that will be introduced. The question is whether Mitch McConnell will bring it for a vote. If this president and this administration care about the Venezuelan people, the first step that they can take is provide TPS, temporary protected status, to the Venezuelans that are living in this country. We have over 200,000 Venezuelans right now that are here in this country. I know they want to go back, but even if Maduro leaves tomorrow, we are going to see a country that will need a lot of investments for rebuilding an economy. They're not going to be able to leave right away and go back right away. So people that are living here, Venezuelans that are living here, need to be able to drive, to get a driver's license, to work. And that is what they're asking, and that is what we will be doing in the House of Representatives.
You think about all these candidates who are here in South Florida for a couple of days, speaking with a very large Latino population, Caribbean population, what would you tell them about the message? What should they be saying to this community to be able to win their vote next year?
Latino communities care about the same issues that most Americans care about. We focus so much on our families. We care about the education of our children. A lot of us came here without any resources. We've worked ourselves up. It's the story that I bring to Congress, the story that I bring to Washington, D.C. At the same time, we have ignored the politics of Central and South America for so long. And that's the reason why we're seeing the crisis in Venezuela under both administrations, not just Republican administrations, but also Democratic administrations have ignored the politics of Latin America. And personally, this is so important to me that I do expect them to understand the dynamic of our community, that most of us have come from a different country, and that allegiances to parties sometimes are not enough. We need to feel the candidate. We need to know that they understand who we are and what we want for the future of our kids. And so that would be my message to all of the candidates that are coming to Miami this week.
Congresswoman, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Louis.
That was Congresswoman Debbie Mukersal-Powell of Florida's 26th District. You can follow tonight's town hall on immigration starting at 7 p.m. on our Facebook page. Well, still to come, do you understand cryptocurrency? Do you know how Bitcoin works? Well, we're going to meet a guy who's going to try to explain it, and he'll tell us why it could become the next best way to invest in real estate. That's all coming up next on Sundial.